chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, starting in verse 1, I'll read through verse number 10. We'll see some very deep things tonight, very elementary message, but yet we'll see some very, very deep things right in the middle of it. We'll do our best to discern those, and then we'll press forward and see what the Lord has for us. Chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you tonight once again. Lord, I seek your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I pray, Father, for the filling of your Holy Spirit. Speak through my lips, I pray. And I do ask, Lord, that you would cleanse me from sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, I pray. I do ask, Lord, that you would get the glory tonight. Father, what a sweet spirit, Lord, we've had already, just looking and seeing what you've done. And Father, I just look around and see these young people sing and just want to participate and serve you. Father, it just encourages my heart, and I thank you for that. Thank you for that encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would just watch over each one of us this evening. Give us all knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to discern your word. Father, maybe something said, preached, or done, Lord, would just be our nugget that we need for the night. Lord, that we could have that morsel of feeding to be able to see us through the week and to our midweek service. We thank you, Lord, for all you do. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your goodness, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Thank you for standing, as always. And tonight, as we look at this passage, once again, we've made it through chapter 3. Chapter 3 and 5 are both pictures of the New Testament church, a mystery that's no longer a mystery. God makes that known to us. And then we start out in chapter 4. In other words, after the church is established and God makes that known to us, it's no more a mystery. Then he begins to expound to us in chapter 4 the things that are to come. In other words, he that ascended, that's the one that went up, is also the one that descended, the one that went down. And you were like, when did Jesus ever go down? He didn't do that. Absolutely he did.
Amen.
When he died on the cross. I'm getting ahead of the horse, but go back to verse 1. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Now let me talk about that. Whenever that you're a prisoner, that means you're incarcerated. Most of the time, it would be if I had done something I should not have done. I've been took before the jury. I've been, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty in this country. And I have been taken before a court of law. I have been tried, convicted, that means found guilty, and then they throw me in a jail cell, and it's not one like Otis had on Andy Griffin that you can just reach and get in and out anytime you want, but it is the jail cell that I would be incarcerated in, and I would be sometimes bound in chains when they move me from one to the other, and going from one cell to the other if I depended on the things that I had done. Nonetheless, I would be there against my will. Now, the thing I want to point out, as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, we are not prisoners against our will.
Amen.
Everything we should do, it says that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous to me.
Yeah.
It's not a grievous. I don't feel like I'm in prison because I had to come to church tonight.
Amen.
There was a time, listen to me, I know I've heard Brother Barry say it. He said, I had a drug problem when I was growing up. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I got drugged in church every service. And I'm telling you, there's a sense that whenever that you're a young person, you feel like, well, I have to go, I have to go. Once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are no longer riding on mom and dad's coattail. You are giving an account of yourself. Right. It's your decision. It is you that is going to stand and give an account for yourself.
I won't stand. Listen, I've been told in God's word to train up my children in a way they should go, that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I did my best to do that. We have done our best to do that. But however, there's going to come a time, you know, a Mama Robin, she works herself to death. I've watched them before. She'll go out there and she'll get twigs and she'll fly to the branch and get another twig. And she builds her nest and then she makes it real good and strong, plucks out some of her feathers and pads the bottom. She lays her little eggs and painstakingly sits on them things until they hatch. Once they hatch, she works herself to death. You want it running and flying down and scratching and getting worms and coming up and poking their little mouse that's standing there open. But there comes a day that literally Mama Robin is trying to work herself out of a job. She feeds them, she raises them, she grows them, she protects them. But there's a day that they step up on the edge and they've got to flap their little wings and they've got to learn to fly. That's a hard time in a parent's life. And as that hard time comes on, we've got to look at nature itself. Does it not teach us the same? You have to teach them there's going to be a time. And the reason that I feel like that I wanted to go that direction is because there are a lot of young folks that are mid-teens, late teens, early 20s, and they feel like they have to. If you feel like you have to, your relationship with the Lord ain't where it needs to be.
That's right.
Amen.
What are you picking on teens for? Okay. If you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90, that covers everybody in here. And you feel like you have to, your relationship, our relationship with the Lord ain't where it needs to be.
Amen.
Why? Because you see, where the court of law would forcefully throw me into a jail cell and lock it, I'm willingly saying, Lord, hook me up. Because I want to be your prisoner forever.
Amen.
I'm not being forcefully pushed into nothing. And that's exactly why he says, I therefore, in other words, in conclusion of, he says here, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I strongly urge you. I'm a prisoner. I'm bound by his will, his ways, his direction, his word. I'm bound by him. And then because of that, he said, Let me try to explain this to you. You've heard me tell you before, and I know you guys have been at preaching services where I preached revival and I shared my testimony, but the fellow that I talked to that was a missionary, and I'd had him to the house, and I asked him, how do you know if you're called to preach? And he stopped in mid-bite and said, son, if you can do anything else, do it. And he kept eating, and I thought, man, what crazy advice. Why in the world would he say that? You see, because he knew if God was calling me to preach, I couldn't do anything else.
That's right.
If I tried to walk away tonight and I said, guys, look, you know, it's been a good long run here, but, you know, I'm just going to have to step away. And they're like, well, where? And you guys say, well, where are you going? I'm not going anywhere. I'm just leaving the ministry. I'm stepping down. And go give me a little time to do some trout fishing up in Teleco. And I come up with all this scenario of a mess. Well, oh, son, I would find out right quick. Matter of fact, it hurts my heart to even say that. Because why? Because I am the prisoner of the Lord Jesus. Not against my will. I just know he has placed a calling on my life, and I have got to heed to that calling.
Amen.
When somebody opens the door and says, will you come preach for me? Absolutely. When the door was opened here for me to come pastor? Absolutely. I want to serve him.
Amen.
Now, we all, as born again believers, we have been called with a holy calling as God drew us to himself. Once we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, we also now have stepped into this whole new era. We stepped into the whole new world. Think about that song we just sang, page 94. You know,
I'm in a new world.
I'm in a new world.
Since the Lord's
age. You know. This world, the Lord has been so good to me, set my captive spirit free. Old things are passed away, all things are new today. He opened up my blinded eyes, and there I found a great surprise. I'm in a new world. Well, that new world, guess what I found out? I'm a prisoner. Because the things that I want to do, which are sinful and fleshly, I can't enjoy them no more. And it's like, well, that ain't no fun. I can't even enjoy it. I can't even go get in a good sinning and like it. Why? Because I'm convicted. Why am I convicted? Because I'm his prisoner.
Amen.
And because I'm his prisoner, even if you want to be angry, bless their heart, I need to pray for them. I think that's what you'll end up thinking. And when you start wanting to, you'll find yourself wanting to pray for him. Why? Because I'm a prisoner. Yep. I'm his prisoner. And it's because I've got a whole new life. And because of that new life and his Holy Spirit lives in me, the Apostle Paul is making a proclamation, God allowing him to pin it down, that he is a prisoner for the churches. I'm a prisoner of God. He says, I'm the least of all saints, I'm the least of the apostles, but God's made me his prisoner and I'm happy for it. And he says, listen, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord. If you're a born again believer, you're a prisoner of the Lord. Anybody in the ministry, we're prisoners of the Lord. Not against our will. We just know that there's nothing else I can do. Just like the missionary told me, if you can do anything else, do it. I tried, and I found out that I couldn't. Because there was a constant conviction, and the only way I could get peace is just be in the middle of where the Lord is calling me to be. Yep. And there ain't nothing like being a prisoner for the Lord.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, if everybody had a warden, like the one that's the warden over us as prisoners for him, they would never want to leave prison.
Amen.
The folks that are locked up in the real prison, they're counting the days down to get out. Brothers and sisters, I'm counting the days in. Most of us has got a birth date. I got one, a day I can't remember and one I can't forget. And we're counting all the days that we've been incarcerated, saying, praise God, I've been incarcerated for this many years. Why? Because it's a joyful thing.
Amen.
It's a joyful thing. Thou therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Here's what God is allowing the Apostle Paul. Beseech means I strongly urge. He says, I beseech you. I'm strongly urging you. In other words, I'm standing up and I'm pointing my old bony finger and I'm saying, you better get this right, that you better walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The Apostle Paul knows that it isn't just him that's a prisoner. It isn't even just the apostles and the prophets and the pastors, evangelists, and teachers. But that goes on in the context of this chapter. We're prisoners, but any born again believer is a prisoner.
Yep.
Why? Because I try to do something different, and I can, but not enjoy it. It's miserable. It's awful. And therefore, he says, I strongly urge you, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What does that mean? If you were to just take something as simple, at the school, at the high school when I was there, there was a vocational department. Is it still called the vocational department? And you could take trades like FFA and building trades, and you could take electricity and drafting. And it was things that literally, it was a trade. And a vocation that we have is the trade or the position or job that we have. The job that he says that we've got is living for him. And he says, now that you're my child, now that you're my prisoner, now walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You see, once I realize that he is the king, I'm the servant. But the king has grafted me into his family and made me fellow heirs with his son. Now I no longer serve him like a servant, I serve him like a son.
Yeah.
A son serves different than what a servant would serve. Yeah. You've heard me give this illustration years ago. Some of you have, some of you have not. And from what I understand, the missionary that told me this says this was a true story. There was this particular place, and I don't remember where in the world it was at, but they were selling slave girls, and they were lined up. They were chained, of course, or somehow bound. And the masters was coming and selling them off that day. And all the fellas that had all the money were gathered, and they literally was auctioneering them off like Walker would auction off a cow. And as these ladies would come up, the gavel would fall, and they would go to the one that bought them. And then this one would go with the one that bought them. Well, there was this one out of all the line that was just fairer to look upon than any of them. And the two richest men in the whole group, they done had their eye on her. And the longer that it, to the closer she got to the stage, as I understand the story went, she walked up and she stood there with her head down, and the price began to go soaring much higher. One by one, all the other buyers began to drop out, and it ended up with these two rich guys. The one kept bidding, the other one would bid. The one would bid, and the other one would top him. The one would top him, the other one would top him. And before you know it, it finally got to a point, the one backed out, the gavel fell, sold to this man right here. The woman comes down, he goes and gets the papers that legally says, this one's mine. And as the missionary said, he said, I couldn't help but think this is a picture of what Jesus does for me. He said, he goes over and he said, the woman was mad. She was angry. She thought she had been sold off as just nothing, no more than just a piece of flesh for him to have his way with. On the contrary, this one had bought her, and he brought her papers up. He took the shackles or the ropes off her arms and legs, and he gave her the papers and said, here, I bought you so you can go free. As the story goes, she began to weep and fell down at his feet after she realized what was happening. And here's what she said. I will serve you for the rest of my life. There's a difference between her attitude as a servant as one just a few minutes before when she felt like she was being sold as a piece of flesh. I want you to understand tonight, church, Jesus paid the ultimate price.
Yes.
And he bought us so that we could go free. But yet when he hands those papers to us that says, here's your soul. I've bought it and paid for it with my own blood, and it's stamped, paid in full. We ought to have the same attitude as that young slave girl, that we would fall down our knees before him and we would say, Lord, how will I ever repay you? I want to be your prisoner. I want to serve you for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I want you to, I'm leaving that nugget right there. I'm stopping. That's it. That's our whole message right there. But I'm telling you, it is so rich. It is so deep. It is so real that I want you to get that nugget. I want you to get that nugget. What we do for him, I don't have to. I get to.
Amen.
What an unbelievable gift that God has given us, which is a gift of salvation, that we could serve him, follow him, and literally surrender to his will. Be his prisoner. Be his servant. The rest of the verse says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The way that we were called to that vocation, church, it's because there was a price paid, and that price was the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not gold and silver and these things, vain traditions of our fathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And once we get a hold of that, it's going to change the way we serve.
Yeah.
A servant serves different than a son. Romans 8 says that the Spirit that beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, and the children heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
If we're his children, a child serves different than a slave. I'm his child.
Amen.
I serve him because I love him.
Yes.